Okay, Rabbi Zai, Daf Samach Dalid, final blot in Masechtas Brachos. We're up to the third line from the top of the Amid, Omer Reb Oven Halevi. We're going to quote now three or four separate memories of Reb Oven Halevi. Only one of them is really connected to our Gemara. What was the Gemara that we learned previously on bottom of Samach Gimel Amid Beis? The Gemara told us about the Seuda, where we had Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen and Yisrael. And the reason why we brought that Gemara was because we were talking about the importance of Hachnasas Orchim. And the reason why we're talking about Hachnasas Orchim is because we began with the four Rabbi Seimer, Bekeren, Beyavna, who were extolling the covet of the Achsanya, how the people in Yavna were so hospitable to the Talmidim and to the Talmid Chachamim, and therefore we wanted to go and extol their virtues. So we brought that Yisroi similarly had made a big Suda, and he invited Moshe Rabbeinu and everybody else, and from that you learn, if you ma'areach Talmid Chacham b'teich beisoi, you get tremendous schar. So one of the members of Reb Oven Halevi is going to focus back on that idea. But now we first start off with other members that he said. So Omer Reb Oven Halevi, third line from the top. What does that mean? Kol doich is a shoa means that he pushes the hour prematurely. It's not his time yet for Gedula, but he doesn't want to wait. Rashi gives an example on the second line, Kigoyen Avshalom Shebikish Limlech B'chazaka B'chazka, when his father David HaMelech was still in control. Avshalom said, I don't want to wait, you know, I'm getting older and daddy's getting older, I don't have time. And he wanted to prematurely push himself as new Melech, and we know that he had a very, very bad fate as a result.
But so, he never was destined to Gedula.
He was never destined. Maybe had he waited, who knows what would have happened. But the fact of the matter is, he wanted to take it prematurely when it wasn't his time yet. Marsha adds an additional wrinkle, and he says that everybody has a mazel, as we know, and those mazolis more or less control our destinies, and therefore you can't go and push your mazel. You can go and be mispal to the Baruch Shem, he should go and be mishana the mazel. But if you're not, if you just try to take things in your own hand, you really can't go and push your mazel in different directions if it wasn't so determined.
A mazel Yisrael, though.
A mazel Yisrael explains the Marsha and the Rashi in the Masechta Shabbos, which we're going to learn, is that everybody has a mazel, including Yidden, but we have the benefit of Rabbeinu Shalom that when we mispal, Kadosh Baruch Hu can go and change these mazolis and turn them upside down. But we do start off with a mazel like everybody else. If you try to go and push your luck when it's not your time, then the time is going to push you back and you're not going to be successful. However, if you are willing to be mevater and say, no, okay, it's my time, but I'm waiting to wait in line, so to speak, then you're going to have the mazel that the shah is going to say, you're a nice guy, we're going to give you another opportunity in the future. The Gemara gives us a very classic and very famous example, Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rabbi Rav Yosef were contemporaries, and both of them were the Gedolei Hador, the greatest of their generation. And Rav Yosef was famous for being the Sinai, Sinai meaning he had the encyclopedic knowledge that he knew from A to Z, in Gans Torah Bavli Balpeh with every Tosfos, Gans Yerushalmi Balpeh, Gans Rambam, Gans Shulchan Aruch, all the Tshuva Svarim, everything from A to Z. So he knew everything. Rab, on the other hand, while of course he had great knowledge, but he was more the Oikar Harim. Oikar Harim means the one that delved in great eon and great depth, and he was able to go and make a very interesting pilpul and show that one is similar to the other or something's different from one another. In other words, Shi'urim v'ion. Now the question is, it's Trichel Hushata. It was the time that we needed a brand new Rosh Yeshiva to go and be in charge of the Yeshiva. Who should be selected as the new Rosh Yeshiva? Should we take Rav Yosef or should we take Rabba? So Sholchu L'Hasam, they sent the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael. Sina Ba'Oikar Harim. Rav Yosef is the Sinai. Sinai means he has the knowledge of Torah as if and as the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it down on Har Sinai. Ba'Oikar Harim, we have Rabba, who's the great Oikar Harim. Eizem Hem Koidem, who should get the position now to be new Rosh Yeshiva? Sholchu Lo, so from Eretz Yisrael, they sent back the message, Sinai Koidem, the one that has the encyclopedic knowledge, meaning Rav Yosef, he should be the new Rosh Yeshiva. Shakol Tzrichen L'mori Chetche, everybody needs the wheat handler, the wheat trader. What is that expression? That means if the basics of human life is food, and the basics of food is eating bread and eating cake and eating things which are made from the grains, and therefore you have to find the person that has the grains that can go and sell it. Rav Yosef, that knows Kolatera Kula, he has the grain to be able to share with everyone. Masha'in Kane, Rabbi doesn't have that store of grain. Once he gets this grain, he knows all the different recipes, what you do with it. But Lamaisi, he doesn't have that in storage, so therefore you rather go and start off with Rav Yosef rather than Rabbi. Okay, so Rav Yosef said, should have said, it's my turn, I'm going to go and take Midrash Hashiva. Avu became the Kibbalah of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, no, I'm going to sit in the back of the bus, I'm going to let Rabbi take over. The reason why Rav Yosef said this to Amri Lekaldoi, the stargazers told Rav Yosef, you should know, Malchus Tartan Shnin, you're only going to be Rosh Hashiva for 2 years, and then after that you're going to have to retire to the Olam Ho'emes. And therefore he said to himself, why should I stop being Rosh Hashiva now and only getting 2 years? I might as well delay it as long as possible. And that's in fact what he did. Molach Rabba Esen B'Tarchin Shnin, he allowed Rabba to take over, and Rabba was Rosh Hashiva for the next 22 years. Rabba passed away, and now Rav Yosef took over. Malach Rav Yosef, Tarchin Shnin, Upalga. Not only did he get two, but he got 2.5 years. And the Ben Yehoyada says the reason why he got another half a year was because since he was willing to waive his opportunity to go and take this exalted position to be the new Rosh Hashiva, and he said, I'm happy to sit in the back of the bus, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me yet another half a year, 2.5 years. So that's the case where the Gemara was saying that Kol HaNidchem Nei Ashoh, he's willing to go and be Nidcha when the time was right for him to take over. He said, no, I'll wait. So then, Shoh Nidchas Riponav, then he gets the benefit of the longevity of having another almost 25 years of life. 22 during the years of Rabbah, another 2.5 years in the times of when he was Rosh Hashiva.
Yes.
So, yes?
We have two difficulties here. Number one, yeah, he was appointed by Eretz Yisrael, so he should not have refused. Number two, how could he consult a Kaldoi in order not to become the Rosh Hashiva?
That's a perfect question. So on question number one, it's not that Eretz Yisrael appointed, they asked a shayla to the Gdoili Eretz Yisrael, what do you say? They couldn't ask the Gdoili Chutzlars, because they were the Gdoili Chutzlars. They would ask Rabbi, what do you say? Look in the mirror. Rabbi, what do you say? Rabbi Yosef, what do you say? So they have to go and ask.
If they ask an authority, and then they decline to listen to it, doesn't it undermine the authority that they're asking by ignoring it?
They're asking, who do you recommend should be appointed? And they said, this wasn't, you know, a direction, instruction, you have to do it this way. This was a chavis das. They were expressing their proposal, their recommendation. That's the right word. The recommendation. Now, they don't have to. There's not a chiv that you have to become Rosh Hashiva. So Rav Yosef said, I thank you very much, but I've decided to withdraw my candidacy, and I'm going to sit back and let Rabbah take over. And then after Rabbah passed away, then Rav Yosef took over. About your second question about asking the Kaldois, in fact the Mefarshim say not that he went to ask them, but they gave him free, unsolicited advice, that they heard about this whole business, and they said, oh, by the way, Rav Yosef, we just want you to know that we saw in the stars, and Rav Yosef listened to that. So there's no isser in listening to what they have to say, but you're not allowed to solicit their views.
What is the difference between soliciting or listening for what they have to say?
Right.
The Torah says that you're not allowed to engage in all different types of kishif and ovi yadoini, then you're not allowed to ask for their opinions. Exactly. So you're not allowed to ask them. However, if they tell you, they send you a letter, they send you an email, you're allowed to read it and say, oh, I see, that's what they have to say. Let me take that into consideration. So you're allowed to take
but
consideration now.
That they mean that we just avoid that Mr. Finland saying.
Actually, they weren't right because he lived 2.5 years
instead of two. Right. Okay, but the point is not that he sought their advice, but they gave it to him, and then he listened to it. And he said, "Okay, let me go and push it off." It could be that these Kaldoi, what they were saying was totally false. In other words, maybe they just read the stars incorrectly. However, if Yosef said, I don't want to take any chances, I'll let Rabbah take over and we'll see what happens. Anyway, Kol Hachshoni de Molach Rabbah, all those 22 years that Rabbah was the Rosh Hashiva, afilu umna lebeisei lekara. He, Rav Yosef, didn't even call an uman. Uman, we're referring to over here, is a person who's makizdam. Makazam means someone who goes and lets out the blood if a person has high blood pressure, etc. Now this is the type of thing that people frequently went to the Uman to go and relieve the pressure. So now there were two types of people at that time. Those that went to the doctor and those that the doctor made house calls. If you were just one of the Hamoin Am, you had to go to the doctor's office. If you happen to be a person of respect and prestige and reverence and blah blah blah, and then the doctor came to you, a house call. So says the Gemara, during those 22 years, Rav Yosef said, I am going to go to the doctor. I don't want to show in any way, shape, or form that I am different than the Hamon Am. I'm just like everybody else. I'm going to sit in back of the shear room. I'm going to sit in back of the bus. I'm not going to go and take any authority or title for myself. That's how Rashi learns Pshat over here. The Tosis HaRosh in Mesechtas Hodiyos, where this same Gemara is brought, brings two other Pshatim. The first Pshat is similar to this, and he says, not that he, Rav Yosef, went to the doctor, but that this doctor, the Uman, would come on an ongoing basis to Rabba, and whenever Rabba was going to do Hakazas Dam, then Rav Yosef would say, okay, whilst you're there anyway, I'm going to go and participate. In other words, be Mak is my Dam on the same day, so you don't have to make a house call to me, I won't go to you, you don't have to come to me. Whenever the Mak is Dam goes to Rabba, I'll make sure to make myself available that day to go to his house as well. But then the Tosis HaRosh brings from the Ramah a beautiful, beautiful pshat. And that beautiful pshat is, because Rav Yosef showed such humility and such modesty by subjugating himself to Rabba for 22 years, neither he nor any member of his family required an umna lebeisa for the next 22 years. In other words, he became, all blood pressure problems went away, so that the Uman had no panosa from them for the next 22 years. All because of his midos tovos, he didn't need to call a doctor at any time over the next 22 years. Baruch Hashem, they had good health at all times. Anyway, so that's the first member of Rav Avin HaLevi. Now we're on to the next member. You have Rav Avin HaLevi, Maida Sivit says in the Pasuk, Yan Hashem B'yem Tzor, Yisagev Hashem Elekei Yaakov. This is a tefillah to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yan Hashem, please help us Hashem on our days of difficulty. Yisagev Hashem Elekei Yaakov, the word Yisagev Hashem means to give us chizuk, to strengthen us. The Shem Elekei Yaakov should go and give us chizuk. The question is, why does the Pasuk refer Davka that the Lekei Yaakov should give us chizuk? What about the Lekei Avraham and Yitzchak? Why are we discriminating against them? What does that mean? Literally what it means is the person who owns the beam, he should go and help out and be in the middle of the beam. Which means, what happens if you have a very heavy beam and you want to go and take it from here across the street? You can't take it by yourself. So you ask two people to please help you. You need three people altogether to carry this beam. So where should the balabas stand? He should be the one in the middle. And let the other two, one go in the front and one go in the back, because in the middle that's where the main pressure is. Since he's the owner, he should be the one that is carrying the major burden on his shoulder, and the other should be helping him out. That's the balakoira, shikonet ba'ovya, he should be in the middle where the real heavy weight is, the heavy lifting is. So what does it have to do with Yaakov? Explains Rashi. Yaakov is the one that gave birth to all of these 12 shiftei ka. If these shifteka need help at any time in the future because it's a yom tzara, then Yaakov, who is the father of all of them, he is the owner, so to speak, he should be in the middle of it. And therefore we refer to Yaakov and not Avraham Yitzchak. Even though Avraham Yitzchak, of course, are the Zayd and the Elter Zayd, the Alts Emes, but the Maisa, they're not the ones that actually gave birth. If you see Rashi in the middle, says Rashi, Shiyoichiz ba'ovi akoyra, in bola tautla mimokam amokam asitim bebinyin, kloima, Yaakov, shekola banim shaloi, Yaakov, all the kids were his kids. And he was matriach to go and be megadolim. Yivakish lehem rachmim. He should be the one that should be mevakish rachmim on them. That's how Rashi learns. The Marsha is not so happy with Rashi's pshat because he says we're not asking Yaakov to be mevakish rachmim. Yisagev Hashem elekei Yaakov. We're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu in the name of Yaakov Avinu. He's the elekei Yaakov. He should help us out on our days of tzara. So what does it have to do with Yaakov being the one that's the oivi hakoira carrying it? So therefore says the Marsha, we're not talking about Yaakov, we're really talking about the Midah of Yaakov. What means the Midah of Yaakov? Avram's Midah was the Midah of Chesed, the Hachnosis Orchim. Yitzchak was the Midah of Gevura and of Avoida. And when it comes to Yaakov, you know, his Midah is a Midah of Torah, because it says that he was, Yaakov was Ishtam Yoshev Eholim, the Eholish Shal Torah. Therefore we ask in Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the Schus of Yaakov and his Midah of Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, go and be Mechazik us and give us Chizik when we have difficult days. The next memra is the Omer of Oven, which relates to our Gemara of yesterday. The Omer of Oven, Halevi, Kol Anena Misuda Shetamad Chacham Shari Pesaycha, whoever has Anoa from Misuda, where there is a Tamad Chacham present, Kilo Anena Mizif Hashchina, it's as if the Kodesh Baruch Hu is present. Shinema, V'yav Yaharim V'chol Zikmi Yisrael, Lech Lechem Im Choysein Moshe, they came to eat with Yisrael, Lefnei Yualikim. The Freit of Yimara, V'chi Lefnei Yualikim Achloi, V'lefnei Moshe Achloi. They didn't eat in front of Hashem. After all, yes, of course it was in front of Hashem. But Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. So it's always Lefnei Yualikim. So why are we saying Lefnei Yualikim over here? Eloi Malach, Kol Anehenem, Yisudish, Tamar Chochem, Shari B'Saycha. Moshe Beinu was shorty in that Uda. Nu, I bazoi, Kil Nenem, Yisudishim, it's as if you have the Shechina there together with this great, outstanding Tamar Chochem. Miyomer of Oven Alevi, another memra. Hanifta mechaveira yom eloi lech bishalim elech lishalim. Shehari yisra shomalei lemoisha lech lishalim. All of it's lech. Tavit shomalei rav shalim lech bishalim. Holach v'nitle. Now it sounds like semantics, but the Gemara tells us that there's a major difference between lech bishalim and lech lishalim. If you want to say something friendly and say something nice, say to your friend, Lech Lishalim. If you want to go and say something nasty, you say Lech Bishalim. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Yisro said to Moshe, Lech Lishalim, and Moshe Rabbeinu kept on going higher and higher in terms of his leadership of Klai Yisrael. And yet, David said to Avshalom, Lech Bishalom, and eventually Avshalom had a very, very bad fate, and Nebuch, he was hung as a result of going on his horse, and then he got stuck in the trees, and all the business, and he never hung from the tree. Anyway, the Omer of Oven HaLevi, attached to this memra, Rabbi Oven HaLevi says another word, Haniftim in a mace, when you are Nebuchadnezzar Levi, and you're saying goodbye to a dead person, Aliyom Eloi Lech Lisholim, Elech Bisholim, Shinem Latov Etov Lasecha Bisholim. What is this business, Lech Lisholim, Bisholim, what is this all about? So many, many Mepharshim say the same pshat, that the word Sholim means Shleimus. Shleimus means that a person who's an Odom HaSholem. What means an Odom HaSholem? Odom HaSholem means that each person has a Yetzer Toiv, Met a Yetzer Ra, he has Midas Toivis and he has Midas Rois, and he wants to go and become an Odom HaSholem. So he has to make sure that his Yetzer Toiv is Miskaber and conquers his Yetzer Ra, and that his Midas Toivis outweigh his Yetzer, his Midas Rois. Person who's successful, he's an Odom HaSholem. Why is he called Sholem? Because he has now Sholem, peace inside of his guf and neshama. Peace throughout the world means you have two enemies and Baruch Hashem, they settle their differences and they work it out peacefully, so there's no melchama. If you win inside that your Yetzer Tov vanquishes your Yetzer Hara, so the war is over and Baruch Hashem, you're now B'Sholem. Therefore, a regular individual, you always wish him and tell him, although you happen to be already in a high Madrega, B'Lech L'Sholem, go even higher in Madregas, both B'Rochnius and B'Gashmius. You finish Shas one time, go on to finish Shas a second time. Baruch Hashem, you make your first $1 million, make a second $1 million. Lech L'Sholem, you're giving him a bracha, go higher and higher. Lech B'Sholem means the Shleimus that you already have, keep it, don't go higher, don't go lower, just stay with what you got. So that's already not a nice thing to say. You want to tell a person, be successful, have a good year, go up higher and higher, don't tell them, sit on your hands and don't do anything more and that'll be fine. No, you don't do that. But Chas V'Shalom, the other way around, a person who's never Chames, he cannot go higher and higher in Madreyas because his time has never ended, so there are no more mitzvahs that he can do. He can't learn more Torah, he can't go and do more tzedakah. He's stuck. So then you go and tell him, Lech B'Shalom, the shleimus that you took, that you filled up your suitcases, take those up to Shemayim, show them what you got. Hopefully they're all full of mitzvahs, and they're full of Averis, Taka Toignish. So that's the Lashon Lech B'Sholem, don't say Lech B'Sholem.
This is talking to Avraham Avinu. This is in Bereishis, I think Kadosh Baruch Hu was talking to Avraham Avinu when he's talking about the Brisman of Sarim.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work there? Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Avraham, that's it, you're done?
Yeah, anybody, it makes no difference. They say the Vilna Gaon, when he was about to pass away, he cried. So they asked him, why are you crying? After all, you have so many mitzvahs. He said, don't you realize, until now, every single day, I put on my talis cotton. As soon as I put it on, the whole day I was full of mitzvahs. Baruch Hashem, wearing, now that Nebuchadnezzar is going to pass away, this simple mitzvah goes away from me. I won't have anything. So everyone, even the Avos HaKadoshim, as long as they were alive, they were able to go and do more and more and more mitzvahs. And now, since they've passed away, we try to continue to live based on the schusim that they developed during their lifetime, but they can't develop new schusim unless the schusim that they have from the fact that they have Einiklach who are learning Torah, like we are doing now. But that's the shleimus that they have. They can go higher and higher based on their own activities, because now they're now at the end. Exactly, have Shalia Nishmaim based on stuff that we do for them, so we give them schusim, but they don't have their own, they can't on their own do something, we can do on their behalf. Every single day a person leaves shul, and then he goes, if he goes into Pismedish, but always in return he learns, what's this Indian Yechum Mechayel Choyl? Says the Marsha. The Mechayel means, the word Chayel by definition means like troops in a garrison or working together in an army. That's the word Chayel. Okay, so, and you come into shul and you're davening with a minion, you have a group, you have a tzibur. That's one group of soldiers. That's one chayil. And since we learned yesterday and 2 days ago in the Gemara that a person should not learn bad bivad, because if a person learns by himself, v'noy alu, v'afilu mitapshin, the Gemara said, so he's supposed to learn with a chabura. Ah, so if you're going from the basic kinesis where you had one tzibur, and you go into the besmedish where you have another tzibur, you have another chabura, so then you're going b'chayil choyil, then you have the schus of your other kometziah. The Tamir Chum don't have a nucha anywhere. On the surface, this Gemara is a little bit difficult. I can understand that Tamir Chum don't have a nucha by Lamazah, because number one, they have to worry about Manasa, they have to worry about all the questions that people bring to them, all the shaylas and all that. Yeah, exactly. But what menucha there? Baruch Hashem, not Baruch Hashem, but never they passed away, so now the menucha there, yes. So the pshat is, they don't have menucha, Boilam Baba, says the Marsha, because since these Talmidei Chachamim are going to learn now, they're going to give the shir over there too, and they're going to be mefalpul back and forth, and the Metzach Mutchin in the Torah. What's pshat in the toises, what's pshat in the tshuvas of Kiva Eger, and this kasha, and that kasha, that's the menucha that they're not going to have olam haba, that they're going to still be oseg ba tayin. The last chicken, Rabbi Lozman Chanina, I think we'll leave for a siyum, Yetz Hashem. Have a wonderful day, Yeshikoyach, everybody, Zagi.